You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Trees are dying in the Packerjohn State Forest, which is 40 miles north of Boise. And we're talking about a whole lot of trees, including firs and spruce. They're under attack from the Douglas fir tussock moth. Now, these little caterpillars eat the needles of Douglas fir and other trees, and they kill them in droves. And this happens about every 10 years or so. Now, this year, it is especially bad. That's because of a drought last year and then an ongoing battle with western spruce budworm, which together has left the trees more vulnerable than usual. The Idaho Department of Lands is selling the dead and dying trees for timber because they want to help reduce fire risk. Joining us live in studio, straight from one of those timber auctions, is Chris Clark, land resource specialist with the Idaho Department of Lands. He is one of three foresters who manage 65,000 acres of endowment forest land in southwest Idaho. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, my producer, Samantha, showed me a YouTube video of a part of this forest. And you would think that a forest fire had gone through this forest and destroyed the trees.
Yeah, we had a drone, took some aerial imagery to help try to capture, paint the picture of the impacts of the tussock moth, what had happened. And that was the best way to capture it, to see it, because down on the ground, it's hard to get around some of these patches that are hundreds of acres in size with no access. So that...
It's shocking. It's shocking video because when you talk about a moth, I mean, I think of a little tiny moth. So talk to me about what this Douglas fir tussock moth is. Like, what does it look like? How can it be so invasive?
The tussock moth is a native Idaho to the western United States. It's a native defoliator, and it does it's really a pretty caterpillar. I mean, it molts six different times, and it starts out as an egg, and as it grows 1 centimeter, 2 centimeters, it ends up about a couple inches large for the female, and the male is roughly around an inch, and they have a lot of fine hairs all over their body. They have with a lot of different colors, oranges and reds and yellows, and they're really a beautiful looking caterpillar. If you're in the woods and you look for them, you will see them now eating the needles of fir trees, Douglas fir and grand fir trees, if you're around the regions where they are, up around Smith's Ferry and Banks and south of Cascade. Sage Hen Reservoir is another one. But they will be eating for about another week or two, and then they will go in their cocoon, and then for a few weeks, then they'll hatch, and the female stays on the cocoon while the male comes over and breeds with the female, and then the female then lays the eggs on that cocoon, and so when we will go out in the fall to do our egg mass surveys to see how many live eggs there are in the forest and where we might have a big outbreak coming up.
So how do outbreaks like this happen? Because as I said in the introduction to the segment, you only see this about every decade or so.
Right. Yeah. This area that we're talking about in southwest Idaho, the last big outbreak was in the early 90s. And it was mostly on the Boise Forest and the Challis Salmon National Forest. It did hit in Packerjohn Forest on state land. It wasn't as heavily, the populations weren't as heavy. But when the numbers of caterpillars, like we saw in Packerjohn, just hundreds of them in a tree, you could shake one limb you've seen some of that video that we've had, shake one limb and you get 50 of them on a limb there, and you get that kind of concentration of that's when you get the tree more tallity and causing the dead tops. But they had a lot of food in an area that they prefer, which allowed the population to get bigger and bigger in that region that we're talking about. And until we get rid of some of that food in those areas, we're going to keep seeing outbreaks.
And we should know, we're going to put this video up on our website so that our listeners have an idea of what we're talking about when we say how big this outbreak is. And one of the things you're doing is, since the trees are dying off, is selling it. So talk to me about why you're doing that.
Yeah, we have a one sale we just sold today to Wood Grain Millworks out of Emmett, and they bought it's about 1,000 acres, about 15 million board feet of just Grand Fir and Douglas Fir, of trees that are 90% dead, and the other percentage have dead tops and are high risk for bark beetles that could come in. The Doug Fir bark beetle will come into these trees that have dead tops, that have Doug Fir trees that are under stress, and when those beetles get in there, they send pheromones out, so it attracts other beetles, and so it's the tussock moth doesn't kill them, the Doug Fir bark beetles will. So we're looking to salvage and try to control those bark beetle populations to cut the deadwood out of there and reforest those areas into more resistant, more resilient forests, so that these outbreaks don't happen, and try to put it back to the earlier successional periods of the life of a forest.
We're talking with Chris Clark, Land Resource Specialist with the Idaho Department of Lands. We're talking about the Douglas Fir tussock moth and what it's doing, especially in the Packer John State Forest. So you've spent time in this forest. So talk to me about it, because the video, it looks like a beautiful part of Idaho.
Yeah, it's really a gorgeous mountain. Packer John Mountain used to have an old lookout on it. It's public school endowment land. It's been a state forest from the early 1900s. We've added on through land trades with the forests and stuff, and it's gotten larger. But over just this summer, see, those trees overwintered with a bud, the ones that are dead now, overwintered with a bud. We thought they were going to leaf out. We went out, so I've been going out there busting snowdrifts to get in and try to monitor the stuff, and these trees were under so much stress they didn't leaf out. Mm. And what we're seeing, there was so much of a bug population on Packer John Mountain in areas nearby that it's actually the population is booming now. Every day I go out there, there's more defoliation going on hundreds and thousands of acres. So the whole mountain is pretty much has brown needled fir across all the mountains. So we're going to do more drone video at the end of August, and it's going to show just what I'm talking about, where what you saw is a small fraction of the acres that are impacted now, today getting worse.
So how long do you expect this outbreak to continue? Does it just go on until the weather turns?
Well, supposedly from the history, as that has showed itself with this bug population, it is a native bug, and we're used to it. There's been recordings of it. It's roughly around 3 years. There's a virus that it has, specifically the Doug Fir tussock moth virus. It's called nucleopolyhedrosis
virus. I will not remember that.
And it is in the soil, and it's some of the bugs are already starting to die from it. We were seeing the viruses last year when we did our egg mass surveys. Tom Eckberg, our entomologist, took some samples and sent them in to show we were going to test how much virus is in them. Well, about 40% of the egg masses had virus in them. So that was a good sign. That was about what it was the last outbreak. And so we're hoping for the virus to kick in then August, the end of August, and everybody's keeping their fingers crossed that it's going to wipe mostly out. It won't, but there have been outbreaks in other states that have lasted many more years than that. So we won't really know until this end of August when we do our egg mass surveys into September how many eggs are actually out there. And because typically the virus kicks in when the bug is in the cocoon. So that's, we're waiting for that moment to then where there'll be more evidence of it dying.
It sounds like the worst place right now is the Packer John State Forest. But as you said, there were some other areas. Mm-hmm. Can this spread, or does it stay fairly contained to these certain areas because of the types of trees.
Yeah, it can spread, but it's based on the host trees needing those fir, the Grand Fir and Douglas Fir, and that's why the Sage Hen Reservoir area on the Forest Service is hit so heavily because it's heavy to the fir species. South of Cascade, and when you go into Round Valley there, you can see it all around you on private land. And so it's really more host specific. If there was all ponderosa pine in that region, we wouldn't be seeing it right now. Yeah.
And quickly before I let you go, the outbreak, as you mentioned, it's on public school endowment land. So when you're selling this partially dead trees, which also hopefully keeps the fire season maybe at bay a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where does the money raised go? What do you use it for?
It's estimated that we'll generate about a $1.5 million from this one salvage sale. And so the revenue from that will go into what we call earnings reserve, and it'll pay to reforest the area. We'll pay to treat the slash. We hope to burn the slash once it's logged. And to reforest the site to ponderosa pine, western larch, lodgepole, and maybe some spruce in some areas. But it helps pay my wages. So we're kind of, with the neat thing about the Department of Lands, we're self-funded. We operate out of our own revenue. And so all that goes into earnings reserve to help fund that my guy from up north, Jeff Klein, who does the drone. You know, it pays his time to come down and fly drone video to, and so it helps us
just offset
continue
everything.
To do forest management to meet our mission of maximizing return to the endowment.
Well, I really
for the long term.
Right. Well, I so appreciate you coming in and talking about this. I've been talking with Chris Clark. He's the Land Resource Specialist with the Idaho Department of Lands. We've been talking about the Douglas fir tussock moth and the outbreak that's going on right now. As we said, the video that they have shot, it is on YouTube, but we will put it on our website. It is really worth a look to see what is going on in some of our forests here in Idaho. Thanks for the conversation, Chris.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.